Hey everybody, my name is Eric.
My name is Takandra, and welcome to Building with the Browns.
We are super excited to bring you fresh revelation and perspectives based on our life experiences.
Yes, we are all about laying foundational truths regarding marriage, love, faith, family, finances, and more that are built to last.
We hope you enjoy Building with the Browns. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Building with the Browns.
Hey y'all, welcome back. It feels like it's been a minute, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think May was just a really long month.
Tell me about it.
And here we are in the middle, almost the middle of June.
Already.
My favorite month of the year, of course.
Of course. Somebody turning.
Somebody better know
or
it.
Or getting old this month, shall I say. Older.
Like a fine wine, baby.
Okay.
Yes. So to all of you, my birthday is next Thursday, the 18th, and it's the most important day of the year, so I would like for you guys to sing happy birthday while you're riding or while you're sitting and you're listening to this podcast. I greatly appreciate it.
They're not going to listen to this podcast on June 18th. Hopefully. Well, somebody might.
Somebody will.
They might want you to another podcast.
Don't discourage my digital birthday party.
I'm just saying. They might want you to get on and sing happy birthday to yourself.
I might just do a 30-second song or rendition of how I like happy birthday song to me. Or maybe you can sing to me.
No, I'm good.
You're not going to sing? Mm-mm. But I'll be 36.
Don't be, are you telling your age?
I'm not a female.
You probably, okay.
No pun intended, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah, you never ask a woman her right. age, but clearly.
Yeah, I'm embracing my age, baby. I'm closer to 40. And
that, okay.
What?
All right. Let's talk about what we can. Let's get to the point of the podcast already. Okay?
Yes, because, you know, last episode was very heavy.
It was
a heavy topic.
Right. And this week, I don't know if this topic would be something considered joyful, but it is enlightening and it's something to really think about. And last Sunday or whatever Sunday it was, we were sitting down for breakfast and I started playing a song. And the song is by Jonathan McReynolds and it's called Comparison Kills. And I've heard the song before.
Right.
But this time I actually just listened to the words and I know y'all heard it was like on repeat like 3 or 4 times. And I made you guys sit down at a table and I was like, let's just really listen to the words of this song. So I pulled up the words to the song and I was just amazed at what I read. So with that being said, our topic for today is about comparison and what success really is.
Right.
Society really paints this image that success is based on, you know, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of career you have, how much money you make.
That's a big one. Right.
You know, we equate success to a lavish lifestyle versus it being something else. So what is your take on that?
I think you're absolutely right. Society tells us that these are benchmarks or, you know, points in your life that you have to achieve in order to have the title of success. In order for somebody to even think that you're successful, you know, you have to be a professional in this area or you have to be a master at this or whatever. But I like to think that success is a state of being or a feeling. And so if you feel successful, then you are successful. But a lot of times, most people don't feel successful because of that word you just used, comparison, and how we compare to those, or we feel like we're not hitting those marks.
Or achieving anything, right?
Yeah.
You have here, you said achievement is objective driven.
Or goal oriented, right?
Yeah. So achievement is objective driven or goal oriented, whereas success is a state of being or feeling.
Right.
So the problem is that we see so many definitions of success in this world that only highlights the results and not so much the process.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Because we're so result driven. Like, we ignore the process. Like, people want to know, how did you get rich? Right. But they really don't want to know how you got rich. They want to be rich and worry about the how later. Right. one of my favorite rappers growing up was Biggie Smalls, and he said,
really?
He was, and I was a secret listener, okay? He cursed a lot. He was from New York. I don't know, but he was one of my favorite rappers. But he said, more money, more problems, right? That was one of his lines in one of his raps, and I never really understood what that meant. Like, how can you have more money and have more problems? But if you don't embrace or take on to the process in getting that more money and appreciating that process, then it will bring more problems.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the problem with having more problems with the more money that you get is because you don't have, or you haven't had time to really plan for success.
Right.
Right. When you want success to be an overnight process, like we have this, as you would call it, a microwave mentality when it comes to certain things. We want it to happen so fast. And then when it happens, we're not prepared to sustain what we're given or what happens in our life. So that's why you can see so many people who've never had money. When they get money, for example, if they win the lottery, they blow it.
Right.
Because they haven't prepared, you know, to sustain, to maintain, or to even steward that amount of money that they've just stepped into.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of jump into this song. I want to jump into some of the lyrics, if not all of them. We're going to try not to talk about all of them because they're very deep.
And yes.
Really, really, really speak volumes to us. But I'm going to start out with his first verse. And it basically says, I can only speak for my world where almost everyone has what they need. Other nations live with sickness, but over here, we die from jealousy. Just stop right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's heavy in itself.
So here in America, okay, because we're in America, where most of us, not all of us, okay, not all people have what they need, but most of us do. We have what we need. We may not have everything that we want, but we do have what we need. And like I said, there are some people who don't even have that. But other people live in nations with sickness, like disease.
Right.
But here we are struggling with jealousy, killing ourselves with jealousy.
Can I tell you that jealousy is a disease?
For real.
It's a sickness.
It is. It puts you at dis-ease when you see someone else who has something that you don't have.
In America, we got this this thing that we like to say, keeping up with the Joneses.
Right.
Right. I don't even know no Jones. You know, I haven't met any. But we have a tendency to want to try to keep up with the Joneses when we stick to what society has painted as success.
Right.
And then, you know, when we don't get it, then we're failures.
Right. And that's that's the issue.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later. The last part of this verse is, because it makes you chase what's not meant to be chased. Because you've possessed it all along. What is that? You possess what you've needed all along, right?
Right.
But when you fail to realize that, you go chasing after, like you said, what the Joneses have. Because you want what they got. What you have isn't enough. So when he says here, it comes to steal and hide what is real, comparison kills. Comparison comes to steal. It covers or blinds you, right?
Right.
From what is real, what you do have, that contentment, you know, that you should have.
Right.
And it ultimately kills you. It kills your joy. It kills your contentment. Yeah. It kills you. It robs you of peace, like literally.
Yeah. Keeps you on edge. It makes you worry more. You know, your stress levels.
Yeah.
And so he says comparison kills, like it's deadly.
It is.
Because it stops you from progressing.
Yes.
It stops you from being able to love your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, to love the Joneses for what they have. It stops you from being able to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us miss an opportunity to have a level of success in our own lives because we fail to celebrate others.
Yes, that is so, that's so, so true. Yeah. You know, our beloved bishop that passed away, he used to say, when you see someone else being blessed that you know, You should celebrate them.
Yep.
Because what it means is, he would say, the Lord is in your neighborhood, like Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're being blessed and you're that close to them,
yeah,
it means that your blessing could be on the way.
Yeah.
The Lord is in your neighborhood. But sadly, we don't always see it that way.
Right.
We see it as, oh, they got it before I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, then that, oh, I'm a failure.
Right.
You know, or I gotta prove myself or do something extra to get what they have, or mm-hmm, I got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's so unfortunate.
Can I throw in an example?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've written 3 books, right?
Uh-oh.
And
where are you going with this? Okay.
You've had a lot of people over, you know, the last couple years since you've released your first book asking you how or for your help to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times what has happened is people ask you how you wrote your book with the intentions of you actually kind of doing it for them, but not really explaining the process. And they don't ever ask you, you know, did you have late nights? Did you stay up? What did you sacrifice?
Right.
You know, what did it cost you to write this book? And I'm not talking money. I'm talking time. I'm talking, you know, thoughts, painful conversations.
Right.
So they see the end result. But they see this the beautiful cost. Book, but they don't know the cost. You know, that's something that I think comparison, when we do it from the wrong place, that's what happens. Because we want to be authors. We want to be, you know, songwriters. We want to be these artists. We want to be successful in all of these things, right? But we don't want to embrace the reality of, this is what it cost me to get this.
Right.
And the reason I shared that was because a lot of times we struggle to celebrate other people because they don't share
the process.
The process.
And right? That's a very good point. And it's kind of like people get bruised faith when the preachers preach to them about the promised land, but they don't prepare them for the process. Yeah. So you're preaching a sermon about the promised land. Mm-hmm. You're getting everybody excited.
Yeah.
But you aren't preparing them for the process. And when they start, they give up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you said, many people have asked about writing a book. But if I were to really sit down and tell you what my process looked like, yeah, what it cost me, not just financially,
mm-hmm,
but like you said, emotionally, time, the sacrifices I made, sleep,
yeah,
wise, you know, there's so many sacrifices, you would probably think twice about writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a writer. There's, yeah, a difference between authoring a book, you know, mm-hmm, and writing a book. You have many people who have authored books, but they didn't write the book.
Right. Cause I may never write my book. I'm struggling, y'all. Cause it's the struggle is real. It's like real. It is not that
get
easy.
Get you a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Hire me. But like I said, when you look at the promised land,
mm-hmm,
so when you see the pretty picture, when you see when it's all done,
right,
sitting in its glory in front of everybody, you don't really think about the process it took to create that. And this kind of goes into the second verse. He said, you spend all night admiring pictures. They make life look perfect as they should, but you don't know the picture's story and how long it took to make it good.
Mm.
It makes you consider shoes you don't like, but when that shoe doesn't fit, wear what you will, despite how they feel, comparison kills. Okay.
Yeah.
So that verse right there just pretty much sums everything that we just talked about, mm-hmm, because you don't know the picture story and how it looks good.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a hole, there's brokenness behind that story.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a process that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. And granted, everyone's process is different.
Yeah.
Your process won't look like my process. But again, we shouldn't covet,
mm-hmm,
or chase after something that looks good.
Right.
Right. Without really understanding what it took, mm-hmm, or what the story was behind that.
Yeah. All right. And so the next part of this song, he says, the grass was fine until it looked greener on the other side. Now you're believing that you fell behind. But why try to match what should be one of a kind? You're one of a kind. We all want to be successful and get mad when God's not in a rush. Waste your time just making copies. You'll see you did not accomplish much.
Wow. So, man, just breaking down this verse right here. the grass was fine until it looked greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. There's where we're talking about the Joneses.
Yeah.
Right? My grass over here,
mm-hmm.
it's all good and gravy until I look across the fence and the Joneses' grass is a little bit greener.
Oh, yeah.
Now I want what the Joneses got. Not mm-hmm. knowing that what the Joneses got is probably turf.
Right. It's probably sprayed on.
You don't spray grass
they
on.
They do got green spray you can spray.
No, they...
Girl, you better Google it.
Yeah. What? It's 2020. They
Girl,
might
I'll
have
be
it.
Out here in this lawn. You don't be out there.
But man, and then like it said, it makes you feel like you left behind. Have you ever felt like that before?
Absolutely. You know, having a military background and in my career mostly been in, you know, from the military, everything's rank based, right? And you come in and you come in with, you know, privates that come to your unit and you're standing in the ranks next to someone who wears the same rank as you. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, they got a different rank and you still stuck at your rank. You know, I would feel that I was not left behind, but like I was behind the power curve. Like what am I not doing? Like, did they not see me standing here? Like I ran 2 miles just like he did, you know, my uniform looks just as good as his. Why am I not getting promoted? But I didn't realize that there was time and grade. He got in the military before I did. You know, certain ranks came at certain times. And then there was certain ranks that you had to go before a board. You know, a promotion packet had to be put in. So if I didn't have those things done, I had no business looking to my left or the right. I should have been more concerned about, you know, what I have for myself to do. I felt left behind, but it was really an illusion.
Mm.
Yeah.
An illusion.
There's levels to everything that we do, right? And so if you're not performing at your max potential at the level that you're at, you're not going to get upgraded. Hmm. Because if you do get upgraded, you're going to upgrade with shortcomings. Hmm. And then you're going to fail at that position. And then it's a trend that continues. So if you don't max out at the level that you are and be content with it, like I said, I've done everything I can. I've you know, checked every block on my list, right? Not nobody else's list, on your list. And then you can move forward. And so when you get to that next level, you're not worried about what you did on the last level.
Wow.
You can spring forward. You see what I'm saying? So
you better preach.
Yeah.
I hope y'all took a mental note of that. I felt convicted a little bit when you talked about that. That kind of punched me in the chest a little bit because we've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, we don't max out at the level that we are, but we're in such a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lord, I'm ready for this next level. You know, new level. Yeah, with that new level come a new, what we say, new level, new devil, right?
Right.
But
new level, same devil that
same
you didn't
devil,
deal with.
Right. You're going to have to deal with some issues. You're going to have to deal with some things in that new level that if you didn't pass it in the last level, then you won't be prepared for what's coming in that next level.
Right.
When we try to get to another level without allowing God to mature us before he moves us into another level, that's when we get anxious. And we start to copy. And this is what he said in this verse. He said, we get mad when God's not in a rush.
Yeah.
And then we start wasting our time making copies. And we end up seeing we don't accomplish much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We're afraid to be original.
But who,
and that doesn't mean that you're doing something that's never been done.
Right.
Original mean being true to yourself. Like, to me, that's the ultimate true success.
We're all different by design. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing new under the sun.
Right. We don't need another Takandra.
Okay. It's hard being me.
Your parents tried and they got the car. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I have a twin sister. Yeah,
we probably cut that out.
No, we're not going to cut it out. We're going to let her hear that. Okay. Well, I love her. But anyway, she's about the closest Takandra out there. Okay.
Yeah.
But there is something beautiful about just embracing who you are.
Yeah.
And waiting on God. Because a lot of times we want to do things before it's our time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like biting into an unripened fruit.
Yeah.
If you do it before your time, it won't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get the same results you saw old boy got, you know, because his fruit was ripe and ready to be plucked from that tree. You won't get the same harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important that we understand we are different by design and that it's so much better to just be yourself.
Yeah.
And not really, you know, try to emulate after someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we do that, it leads us into not just comparison, but competition.
Right. Whew.
You're competing with someone, first of all, who's probably not in competition with you. You're in competition with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to produce and get results that they got.
Right.
And when you don't get those results, you end up frustrated, mm-hmm. disillusioned, and hard to get along with because you thought that your harvest would look like theirs.
Right. Do you think it's safe to say that it's okay to see someone at a level that you aspire to be at and use that as motivation to get there?
Absolutely. I think it's okay. But again, you have to be careful because that heart can be deceiving. This is where you have to guard your heart and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can lead you to the well, right? But you have to fill your own cup.
Right.
You have to fill your own cup. You can't take me to the well and I'm like, okay, here's my cup. Fill it up with what you got. I don't want your oil. I want my oil. I want the oil that God has for me.
Right.
I want the portion, right, that God has for me. I don't want your portion.
Yeah.
Even though I'm inspired by your portion, but at the end of the day, I have to know and understand that my portion won't look like your portion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it looks like. God chooses our portion, but it won't look like someone else's.
Right.
I was talking to a friend about, you know, favor and how favor is not fair. And it's really not. We say all the time, favor ain't fair. It is not fair. You know why it's not fair?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't look the same for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for example, for us, when we say we're favored, we can think of some ways that we feel favored. One, God's always protected us when it comes to safety, whether it's traveling, you know, whether you were deployed or at war and, you know, God kept you. There are so many ways that I believe and we believe that we're favored by God that prove to be true. But for someone else, favor may be, oh, you got a beautiful house.
Right.
You got a beautiful car. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful. You're favored. You know, it's just, it's all of these superficial surface level things that make us say, oh, they're favored by God.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's the simple things. We have grace.
Yeah.
God's protected us.
And there's nothing that we've done to even obtain that.
That's what favor is.
Exactly.
Right? That's why favor ain't fair.
It's unmerited.
It's unmerited. We didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it.
Yep.
All right. So the next part says pressure gets hot and with heat comes mirages.
Mm.
So you think it's cool over there. Your thirst is real, but water can't feel what comparison kills. He feels what you feel. So ask God to heal what comparison kills. So what are your thoughts on this last verse?
Yeah, I think you asked me what was a mirage.
Yeah, I did. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, what's mirage? It's something that's correlated or talked about when you're in a desert, right? When you're in a desert place and you've been, you've reached a level of dehydration where you haven't had enough water. That's something that we talked about when we was in Kuwait because the temperature would be so hot. Like it'd be 140 degrees and you're standing in, and you can look out over the horizon and you will see images. Like there's something there, like there's a vehicle there or there's something there. And it would almost be like an illusion, like something was there. So in your mind, you know, you're thirsty. So you're seeing water.
Hmm.
And so then you start to go after that. And then the closer you get, it's just more dirt. Yeah.
Wow. So with heat comes mirages.
Yeah.
So when you're basically looking too much at something someone else has.
Yeah.
Then the mirage begins to paint itself, right?
Right, because that word he used before that was pressure. He says that pressure gets hot.
Mm.
So you're only under pressure when you're trying to meet someone else's standard or you're trying to obtain something, you know, that's not really meant for you to have.
Wow. And he said, you said it too, your thirst is real. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine when you're in the desert and you're thirsty.
You just drunk a bottle of water and you're thirsty. Like okay, that's how fast, that water run through you because you're sweating.
Well, and I mean, paint that picture for us in life. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We could be sitting here sipping on a well that don't run dry.
Yeah.
And we're still thirsty because we see what someone else has and we want more.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, water can't feel what comparison kills. I had an image of a glass of water when I was reading this verse, a glass that was half full. And the more I tried to fill it, or the more the Lord, shall I say, tries to fill us up with his water.
Right.
And the more we have our eyes on people, the more we're dumping out the portion that he's pouring into us.
Oh, man.
Right. And he can never fill us up because we're too concerned with trying to obtain someone else's portion.
Right.
We're too busy drinking from other people's cups. And if you look at your glass, there's a reason why a glass is clear. It's transparent. If you look at your portion, you'll see that you're not missing anything. And if you allow yourself to just stare at it, stare what God is doing. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for my home that I'm living in now. I thank you for my job. I thank you for my kid. You know, I thank you for what you've given me.
Yeah.
Gratefulness is the key.
That attitude of gratitude. It's interesting that you use the cup as an example, because I thought about Jesus. And right before he went to be crucified, his prayer to his heavenly father was, let this cup pass. Right? Like, what's in this cup? I really don't want to drink it, but I know I have to. But he couldn't pass it to no one else because it was only meant for him to drink it. Right? Had he gave it to Peter, had he gave it to another disciple, it might have killed him, or they would have wasted it. Right? The next part of that, what he says is, your will. Nevertheless, your will be done. I think if we take a nevertheless, your will be done approach in our lives, contentment won't be an issue. Comparison will no longer kill. It'll heal. Right? And so if we can reverse that narrative on that word and take that negative and turn it into a positive, then we can compare to heal, right? We can compare to shed light on something to help someone get to their next level, where comparison is more a help than it is a hurt.
Oh, that's good. You have to really check your heart, because subconsciously we do compare ourselves to people. You got to check yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be grateful for what you have and not be so focused on what you've lost or what you haven't yet acquired.
That's it.
Okay, so let's talk about failure. Failure is fundamental when it comes to success.
Right. You can't get one without the other.
You can't get one without the other. And just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure.
Right.
In fact, there are a lot of companies and businesses and people who won't work with you if you've never failed at anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can't have success without experiencing failure. The thing is, resilience is key to becoming successful. You have a quote here that says, failure teaches us while success sustains us. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah. I think anytime that I've failed at something, it's been a teaching moment. Like, it's taught me to do something different, you know, what, or to evaluate, like, okay, so what could you have done better? Why did you fail? You know, what didn't you do? And then when I talk about success sustaining me, when I feel success or when I've obtained some type of success, it keeps me at bay. Embrace the failures more than ignore them.
Here's the thing. If you've never experienced failure, when you obtain success, how are you going to teach someone else the process?
Yep.
If all they know is your success and not your failures, not your process, you're setting people up for failure before they begin.
And I think if we embrace success from a standpoint that when you start something, you're successful. No one that has sat still has ever been successful at anything. No one that doesn't move don't know what success is. So if you're in movement, if you are in the process of doing something, even if it's a thought, if it's when you think it, it's already successful, right? Think completion, right? Having that end in mind, beginning with the end in mind. That's what success should be. It should be, even if I fall, I'm still successful because I started.
Right. So what are some things we can do to stop comparing ourselves to others?
Accept your flaws. Like, be okay with not being perfect. We can strive for it, but we'll never obtain it.
Perfection is the perfect deception.
Yes.
I have to tell myself this. This is coming from a perfectionist, okay? Who struggled and sometimes still struggles with perfectionism. Yeah. It's an illusion that no one will ever obtain unless your name is Jesus.
That's right.
Okay. And I'm not him. Yeah. Although we strive to be like him, it's not real.
It's not.
Not on earth. Okay.
That's a mirage.
It's a mirage. I would say telling yourself the truth. My auntie always, you know, her theme is stop lying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Stop sitting there telling yourself that you have to have what so-and-so has.
Yep.
You need that lavish lifestyle in order for you to feel content.
That's true. And another way that we can avoid comparison is by having tunnel vision, right? You're really not in a race. I remember when I ran track, the race was always myself, right? I couldn't think about how fast this person in this lane was running. My only focus was my lane, me staying in my lane, and me finishing the race. The results will be the results, right? And so when I talk about tunnel vision, that's not necessarily ignoring your surroundings, because you do need to be aware of who around you, because there may be some people out there just trying to sabotage you too, right? But this tunnel vision is, no matter what's going on, I'm focused on my vision. I'm focused on achieving this goal. I'm focused on checking this block for me.
So the last piece of advice to help stop comparing ourselves to others would be, you know, to always self-assess first, rather than always trying to enhance yourself. Not telling you not to do that,
right,
but make sure your motive in doing so is pure. And not just based on you trying to measure up to someone else.
Right.
Or fit someone else's, you know, standard. So always self-reflect. Look at yourself and say, hey, why am I feeling this way? What's inside of me, you know, that either has a problem with what I'm seeing someone else doing or what I see someone else have? What's wrong with me? Sometimes we look at other people and we feel a certain type of way about, you know, what they have or what they're doing, when really it's the Lord putting a mirror in front of our face to show us what's inside of our heart.
Right.
That needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the person that you're looking at. It has everything to do with you. Hold that mirror up in your face and let God deal with what's inside of your heart.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know, but God is exposing the heart.
Oh my goodness.
I thought this year was, you know, 2020 vision, right? No, this is 2020 attention. He is getting folks' attention, mine's included. Okay, when you talk about that mirror and seeing your heart, like, we got to check ourselves, because we headed down a slippery slope, a dangerous path.
Yeah.
It's a one way, you know. Take heed. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
check your heart before you call out anybody else. Check your heart, because He sees your heart. God sees your heart. I always have to keep that in mind. Like, God ain't looking at my works. He ain't looking at my actions. He wants to see the intent.
Right.
What was the intent in your heart from doing that? Was it for self-gain? Right? Was it for your own pride? Was it for your own glory? Because I'm going to tell you, He's a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
That glory is for Him. It ain't for you.
Absolutely.
So don't be a glory snatcher.
Child.
I'm just saying.
Don't.
All right.
Yeah. Teaching moment.
Hmm.
Teach us. We got to cast down and kill these idols, you know, idols in our hearts, whether it's material things, idolizing people, you know, but that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. We'll talk about that another day. I guess we want to leave you guys with just, you know, these few things. Don't let comparison kill your joy in life. It is definitely the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Good success is okay. Okay. But God's success is better.
Your success should never alienate you from those who helped you, but it should inspire others in such a way that they want to succeed themselves. When we compare ourselves to others with a skewed perspective, we ultimately give into covetousness, envy, or jealousy, because it's no longer about self-evaluation and self-improvement, but much more about self-sabotage and discontentment.
That's good. And again, emulation, which is basically imitating someone, you know, it's a lust of the flesh that will have you in competition or comparison, right? To reproduce what you see someone else, when God never called you to do it.
Right.
And remember, you can't effectively build anything for yourself in life using a blueprint God gave someone else to build with. This was good. Thank you, Jonathan McReynolds, for that song.
Yes, keep inspiring us.
Keep writing music this, you know, that speaks volumes, mm-hmm. speaks to the heart of the people. It causes us to self-reflect, to take a look in the mirror, take a look at our own hearts, and really say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I repent for not being content with my portion.
That's it.
Possessions, they can come and go. You can have one day, and the next day it's gone. Those things are replaceable, but peace, joy, love, contentment, those things are untouchable. So we hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. We just want to say we love you. Don't forget to check us out on www.builttolastmarriages.com. Send us an email. Give us some feedback. Leave your reviews. We want to know what you guys think about these discussions, and we want you to get involved in these conversations with us. So until next time, be blessed, be safe, and stay prayed up. We look forward to speaking with you again on the next episode of Building with the Browns.